Let's hold it up and say it together. This is the Word of God, and I know that it's true. If you'd remain standing with me, please, and turn in your Bible to Psalm 103, starting with verse 1. I'm going to read two verses, and we'll work our way down through the first eight, probably. The title of the message is Benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His benefits. Shall we pray? Lord, we just thank You for Your Word. It does breathe life into us. And Lord, in the life in us can go out and create life in others. So Lord, I pray that You would just anoint this message as it goes forth. Hide Your servant behind the cross once again. We just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Most of us have worked for an employer. Some of you are fortunate enough to work for yourself all your lives, but that's not the case for most people. You had a job, you had a boss. And one of the things that you're always, you get paid for what you do, and then you're always interested in what the benefits are of your job. And the better the benefits, of course, the better that it is to go to work in the morning and spend time. But we have a tendency to compare our benefits with other people and their jobs and see how they're doing and what their benefits are like. And we have a tendency to always look at the grass, perhaps maybe greener on the other side. Maybe somebody else has a good job with better benefits than we do. What we're going to talk about this morning is the benefits that we have as Christians in working for God. And how does that compare with the benefits? Well, you know, Jesus said, you're either with me, you're either for me, or you're against me. So there really isn't any neutral ground. There's a lot of people running around that say, well, I'm not against Christ, but I'm not for him either. Well, Jesus kind of knocked that out of the park when he said, you're either for me or you are against me. So if you're doing your own thing, that's kind of being in league with the enemy of our soul, and that is the devil. So you're working for the devil if you're not working for Christ. That's what I'm trying to say. And there's different benefit packages for each one of those. And we're going to take a look at some of those benefits here. Just to get it out of the way right away here in the process of this message, I want to say that as far as I'm concerned, working for Christ, and I'm not talking about being a minister, I'm talking about serving Him, being His servant, like you all are. One of the great benefits is when you have something happen, which happened here the last week. Well, it's a couple of weeks, it seems. It's kind of a blur, but I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, where Pat is. And that, to me, is a very, very huge benefit of being a child of God. Amen. The better half is in heaven. You're stuck with the other half. But I think probably he's got a little more work to do on me, apparently, so we will grin and go through that. But it is truly at a time of sorrow, at a time of loss, it is so amazing to be able to know for certain. The Scripture says these things are written so that you can know you have eternal life. I can't remember the exact reference to that, but you could look it up. That you know that you have eternal life. So when you come into a situation that my family was in this last couple weeks, and to know for certain, that to me is the greatest benefit of all. And now that the better half is in heaven, I got to make sure the other half makes it too. So we still got work to do. But we're going to look at this here. Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities. That's a benefit of being a Christian. That's a benefit of working for God, is that He is a forgiving God. And if we walk under His umbrella, you know, you've seen that insurance ad with the umbrella. Well, God's got the big umbrella. You walk under that umbrella of the blood of Christ, and the benefit is forgiveness of our sins. And The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, so we really need that. I was thinking about the movie, The Passion of Christ, again, and for some reason that came to my mind, I suppose, communion. And the scene that was the toughest for me was the scene where Jesus was being beaten. And we also know that what you saw in the movie depicting Christ being beaten was probably mild compared to what really did happen to him. And it was brutal as it was. That was their custom back at that time. And still in the Middle East today, they have customs of being flogged if you commit an offense. And of course, Jesus didn't commit an offense, but that's what they did. They flogged people. They beat them. And I stop and think about the things that I've done in my life. And you know, the Apostle Paul said he got beaten 40 times minus one how many times. It was just something that they did. But I think about me and how I deserve those beatings. How I have earned those beatings, and they should be mine. But Jesus stepped in my place, and he stood there, and he took those beatings. He didn't have to, even when he was there. Any time, he could have called for a legion of angels or two or three, and it would have been over. But he chose to stay there and stand in for me and take my beating and punishment for what I have done in my life. And he's done the same thing for you. Now, that's a boss you kind of like to work for, you know? That a boss that not only will tell you that they love you, but they will show it and they will demonstrate it. And that's what Jesus did for us. He stood in and he made it possible because of his crucifixion and because of his resurrection, he made it possible that we can be forgiven of those sins. We didn't have enough capital. We don't have enough capital to pay for our own sins. We're in debt way over our heads when it comes to sin. And there was nothing that we could do about it. And Jesus came along and said, I'm going to pay the debt for you. That's pretty cool. Now, you think about the employer, Satan. And in John 10:10, we get a little glimpse of that. It talks about him being the thief. And Jesus is speaking about Satan in this. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And then Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. People that are out in the world serving the devil feel like they've got a pretty good deal because there is no boundaries, there's no rules, there's no limits. You can do whatever you want to do. That's why people in the world don't want to be a Christian, because there is too restrictive. You can't do this and you can't do that and you can't do the other. But what they don't realize is the freedom that they're exercising, their own free will, and choosing to be employed by Satan, so to speak, they're going to pay a very, very high price for that freedom that they feel like that they have. Now, there's a lot of things, especially in today's society, that we can do that nobody cares anymore. You can do it, but God still cares. We're going to get paid by our employer. And people think that somehow in all of this that Satan is their friend, that he's helping them and he will help them in their pursuit of sin. But he's doing it for another agenda. He's doing it to kill, to steal, and destroy, where Christ is doing it to save our souls, and we could spend eternity with him. Isaiah 53, verse 4 through 7, speaking of Jesus long before it ever came about. This is a prophecy about Christ that came true, obviously. Verse 4, Isaiah 53, surely he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. That's nice to know when you're sorrowful that he will carry you. He will help you with that burden. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. I'm going to read that again. He's wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray and have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. And that's pretty important, that opening not his mouth, because if he would have, and he had spoken the word, he would have been rescued out of all of that, but he chose to stay in it. Benefits of serving the Lord. Sometimes we have to be reminded. That's why the psalmist said, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives all your iniquities, who heals your diseases. Verse 4, who redeems your life from destruction. Now, if we take that on the surface, it doesn't seem valid. For example, there were probably people, probably Christians in the Twin Towers when the planes flew into it. There were Christians that died in that destruction. But that's not the kind of destruction that the Bible's talking about. Destruction in the spiritual sense. If you're serving God, you step from here into eternity in a place that where there's no more sorrow, no more tears. It's amazing. And we only just have glimpses of it. It's an amazing thing. But if you don't receive Christ and you live out your life for yourself under the employment of Satan, you are going to miss out when that day comes. We know how quickly it can come. It can come just like that. And are you ready? So that's the thing. Are you ready when that takes place? Have you committed your life to Christ? Are you striving in that direction? And you'll just walk from here to there, and you won't even look back. That's how good it is. That's how good it is. What a benefit to serve the Lord. Where if we chose to do the worldly thing and do whatever we want to do, and we die in a terrible car accident, suddenly we stand before God and he's going to say, depart from me. I don't know who you are. You're not in the book, the Lamb's Book of Life. So we worry sometimes about, as Christians, we worry about those people that get away with stuff. Psalm 73, I might throw one in here you don't have, Paul. Psalm 73, back a few psalms, verse 12 through 14. Behold, these are the ungodly who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence, for all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. There's somebody who's complaining. They're complaining because they want all of the that God has to offer them. They want it right now in this life. And it doesn't always happen. The Bible says that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. The Lord is not treating them as a mass any different than he is everybody else. And the Christians go, why not? Now, we do have benefits. We have benefits here. We have benefits there. We're mostly talking about the big ones right now. But also, calamity comes on the just and the unjust. Here's something that's kind of puzzles people. We're all going to die unless the rapture happens. There isn't anybody, except for a couple Old Testament characters like Elijah, that got out of this life without dying. It's appointed on a man once to die. We don't know how that's going to happen for us. Would you really want to know? We don't know how that's going to happen. So if it's God's plan that we're going to eventually die and we're going to go to heaven, then it just might be a sickness or a disease or a calamity that takes us. It doesn't seem to line up with all the promises of the Scripture. But there's an overriding plan, and that is when he wants to take us home, he'll take us home. Dustin said something to Charity that kind of helped her in the middle of all we were going through at the early stages. Dustin said to Charity, if God's going to take her home, they aren't going to be able to do anything to save her. And they were pretty baffled, and it seemed to be just the way it went. It was her time to go. She didn't see it coming. I didn't see it coming. We don't know, do we? But it is pretty exciting when you think about it. When I get up in the morning, the thing that helps me is to remember that she's having the best day of her life. And every day is going to be that way, right? Amen. Every day is going to be the best day of her life. So I don't spend a lot of time feeling sorry for her, obviously. I waste my time feeling sorry for myself. I try not to do that too much, but you know, you kind of have to do that. But how much more am I looking forward to heaven as I invest heavier and heavier into heaven, right? Amen. You know, we were a young bunch back in 18 years ago when I first came here. And we're all getting a little older. And these kind of things begin to happen as time goes on. And we used to be pretty proud that we didn't have any funerals at our church. But, and we got some young people coming in too. That's awesome. Now, just to remind us of the personality of Christ and the personality of the devil, I want to take you back in pretty close to closing here to Galatians chapter 5 again. The one, you young people, you can spout out the verse even, because I do this so often. But Galatians chapter 5, I'm going to go with the devil's personality first in Galatians 5:19. Now, this is basically the fruit of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. How can you tell the personality of God? You can tell the personality of God by how Christians live their lives when the Spirit works through them. How do you tell the personality of the devil? Well, you don't have to go very far to find people that are like that. So, works of the flesh, verse 19 in Galatians chapter 5. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I have told you beforehand, just as I have told you in the past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now maybe you've committed one of those, and that doesn't mean you're going to miss heaven if you know how to repent and get your heart right. But if it's a lifestyle to you, a lifestyle of unforgiveness, hatred, Scripture says right after the Lord's Prayer there in Matthew chapter 6, I think it is, says, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven your trespasses. So the personality of God is, or of the devil, when it comes out, is hatred and contentions and jealousies and outbursts of wrath. And there's a lot of people serving him that think that the devil likes him. He hates him. His goal is to kill him, to destroy their lives and to kill him and then laugh when they are taken off to hell. Of course, he won't be laughing too long because that's where he's going. Then the personality of God, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit comes because the Spirit flows out these things in us and through us if we walk in the Spirit. So we can tell if we reverse engineer that this is the personality of God. The fruit of the Spirit, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And that's agape love, by the way. That's the pure kind of love. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. How many think love and joy is good? Take a little of that. How about peace? Yeah. How about patience? Yeah. Well, I am going to end by 12. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. And if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited. Now here we are talking about the flesh things, provoking one another, envying one another. The benefits of serving God so far outweigh the benefits of exercising your free will. Like, who is that? Bing Crosby sing that? I did it my way. We can do that. We have a free will. I'm sorry, that's going to be bad audio. We can do that, but we certainly are going to pay, we're going to pay dearly for it. We're going to pay for eternity for that. It's far better to be employed by Christ and let's say, I think I dare say none of us are going to be perfect. Did I hear an amen? Amen. That's why Jesus has lavished on us grace and mercy and forgiveness. You see, he's not just sitting around waiting to be able to thump us on the head, say, oh, you ain't going to make it. He's working and doing everything that he can do, short of violating our free will, to help us make it so that he can spend eternity with us. We think about spending eternity with him. He wants to spend eternity with us. Amen. Go figure. Right? That's cool. So, think about the benefits of God. When the grass starts looking greener on the other side, just remember, it's all an illusion. It's all deception. There is no benefits on the other side other than immediate gratification, and you pay a heavy price for that. All right, we're going to close in prayer. Have everyone bow their heads and close their eyes. This morning, you know, we've had things and events and stuff going on with Pat passing and memorial service and all these things. It's made us think a little bit more about eternity, made us think a little bit more about our mortality, made us think a little bit more about what really matters, really counts in life. And I know that Pat would be happy about that. It's causing us to draw closer to God. So I guess my challenge to you would be, if you just need to be closer to God, you feel like you've drifted away, you're struggling a little bit, or maybe you never committed your life to Christ, I'd just like to see your hand so I know who to pray for. If that's you, just slip your hand up and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I don't think I'm going to get any hands from the back row. There, yeah, thumbs up, yeah. I see that hand. Anybody else? I see that hand. You can put it down. Anyone else? I see that hand. I'll wait just a moment. I see that hand. God is good. He'll do what it takes to get you and keep you. Anyone else? I just need to draw closer to God. Commit my life to him. All right, I'm going to pray. Father, you see the ones that lifted their hands. You see their hearts. You know what the battle is. You know what the struggle is. And perhaps even maybe one or two of them have been looking at the grass on the other side of the fence and thinking how good that might be. Lord, I pray that they would feel your grip on their soul. They would feel your grip on their hands. That your desire is to not lose them to the other side, that you love them. And I pray, Lord, that they would be able to feel that in their heart, in their spirit, and be able to respond to you. And they would feel whatever blocks that pure love to get to their heart, I pray that would be gone in Jesus' name. That you would just overwhelm them with your loving kindness. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. Just thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for those that are recommitting even today. And I pray, Lord, that this would be the beginning of a great run with their relationship with the Lord. We just pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Dan?